Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond here for Tri-State Gospel. We're going to be discussing the life of the Apostle Peter today, continuing with his life and his witness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter was one of the early evangelists, if you will, preachers in the early church in Jerusalem. And he spoke with mighty power, power of the Holy Spirit. But before he was filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter was a different person. We'll see that today in our message. Before we go to the Word of God, let's go to him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for today, and thank you so much for your wonderful, wonderful blessings. Thank you for your care and your keeping of us, Father. Thank you for your word that you have given to us, and for your precious Holy Spirit to expound that word and to teach us from your word. Father, today, my prayer is that your Holy Spirit speak through me the words you desire to have spoken. Therefore, you will be glorified, and Jesus will be exalted, and all of us will be edified to hear your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for many, many blessings that you've given to us, so many we can't even count them. Thank you for this opportunity today to proclaim your word. May it bear fruit for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen and amen. Well, dear friend, let's continue with our message today. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. We'll be there today beginning our message concerning the life of the Apostle Peter. And last Sunday, you recall, in our last session together, we spoke of the Apostle Peter and a time in his life where he proclaimed Christ as the Son of God, used mightily of God, as Jesus himself said, and then just moments later, he was used of the devil, used of Satan, so much so that Jesus spoke and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You're thinking like man," he said, "not like God." So we see that Peter was a man, a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, that was used mightily of God, especially of God, so much so that he was blessed because of this, Jesus said, to reveal Jesus as the Christ, to proclaim him as the Son of God. And then when Jesus explained to him and the other disciples the purpose he came to the earth, to go to the cross, to suffer, to die, to pay for the sin of all mankind, Peter said, no, we won't allow that to happen, Lord. We can't allow that to happen. And this was being used of the devil. So the lesson there is that anyone, if Peter, the chief apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, can be used in that way of the devil, then none of us are above being used of the devil. We need to know that. We need to understand that. And when we understand that, then we can take steps to guard against that happening. We can be alert and we can be on guard to keep that from happening. But don't ever allow yourself to get into the position of thinking that you are above being used of the devil. You know, just like the Apostle Peter, you may be used in one moment, in one instance, mightily of God. And then you may be used, if you allow yourself to be used, or if you allow yourself to be deceived into being used, you may be used then just a moment later of the devil in very much the same manner as was Peter. So this is a lesson, I think, that we all need to take to heart and we all need to learn as children of God. It is the wise Christian. It is the mature Christian who understands that he is a potential use by the devil and of the devil for the devil's purposes. So we need to guard against that. We need to be careful of that. Now, remember that the time we're talking about here is before Jesus went to the cross, before Jesus' body was placed in that tomb, and before he was raised from that tomb on the third day, and before the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers. So Peter and the other disciples were not yet indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's an instance where the Bible speaks of Jesus breathing on them and saying to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That was, I think, in preparation for their receiving of the Holy Spirit at a later time. Well, our instance today that we want to take a look at is recorded in Luke chapter 22. Now, this is the night of the Lord's Supper. This is the observance of the Passover meal on a Thursday evening. Now, remember, we'd call it a Thursday evening. It's actually Friday. Remember that Friday begins in the Jewish calendar, certainly at the time of Christ. It would begin at 6 p.m. in the evening. A new day would begin at that time. We mark the new day beginning, of course, at midnight. But in that instance, in the instance of the New Testament, the day, new day would begin at 6 p.m. So on Thursday at 6 p.m., it changed to Friday. So it was Friday now. And this actually is the day that Jesus would be crucified, on a Friday. So on that Thursday night, we would call it, in the first hours of the Friday, from 6 p.m. to midnight or so, Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, observing the last meal with them, the last Passover meal with them, the first of what we now refer to as the Lord's Supper. And remember that if we look at John especially, we'll find chapter 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, all of these are taking place during that time of the Lord's Supper. And here we are after the Lord's Supper, and we find that they left that upper room and went out of Jerusalem. And this was probably at least midnight and may have been slightly after midnight that they made this journey through the dark streets of Jerusalem to the eastern gate and left the city of Jerusalem through the eastern gate, went down the hill toward the brook Kidron, crossed the brook, and as they crossed the brook, they began their ascent up the Mount of Olives. And just a couple of hundred feet or so up the Mount of Olives, to the right, if they turned to the right, they entered into the Garden of Gethsemane. And, of course, we know that that happened. They left Jerusalem then and went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed there that night for deliverance, really, from this cup, as he referred to it, that he was to drink. And he found it so repulsive. He was going to become sin, literally. He was going to take upon himself the sin of mankind. And I think that was the particular thing that Jesus dreaded so much, that was just repulsive toward him so much. He, I don't think, was that concerned about laying down his life, as you and I might be. Because Jesus had said, "Nobody takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again." He had said that. So Jesus knew that even if his life was laid down, as he would in a few hours, lay it down as a sacrifice for the sin of all mankind, he had the power to take it up again. So that was not so much a concern, I don't think, as the becoming sin, as taking upon himself the sin of the world. When he did that, his Father turned away from him. And he said on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was in that moment when Jesus let the sin of all mankind for all time be laid upon his shoulders, and he bore it for us. That was the repulsive thing. That was the painful thing, spiritually painful, for Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Well, in any event, we're here in Luke chapter 22 at the time when they've completed those hours in the upper room, when the Lord's Supper has been observed, when he is told that one of you will betray me, and Judas gets up and leaves and goes and proceeds to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, leading the soldiers right into the garden where Jesus was arrested around 1 a.m. or so, 1 to 2 a.m. in the morning on that Friday morning. So they're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, before they get there, it seems, and this may have happened on the way to that Garden of Gethsemane from the upper room, in verse 31 of chapter 22, Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And he said to him, Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." And Jesus said to Peter, "I say to you, Peter, the cock will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me." Now, that I'm sure Peter didn't want to hear. But Jesus explains to Peter what is coming, that Satan has demanded to sift him, and I have given him permission, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again to me, strengthen your brothers. Now, Peter professed his love for the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And certainly Peter wasn't lying. Peter thought that was his state of mind. Peter felt like he would do that. In fact, when Peter was arrested just perhaps as little as an hour or so later, Peter was the one who drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest, the slave of the high priest, rather. That's in chapter 22, verse 50. And Jesus says to him, "Stop, don't do this." Again, Peter was trying to stop this from happening, and Jesus had said, "This is the reason I'm here, to go to the cross." So Peter, in his humanity, was still trying to stop this from happening. Now, was he again being used of the devil? Yes. Yes, he really was. Because he was against what the Lord's will was. The Lord's will was to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father was for him to go to the cross, to be the supreme sacrifice for the sin of all mankind. So as repulsive as that was to Peter, he was being against the Lord and against God's will by drawing that sword and attempting to prevent Jesus from being arrested there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, in chapter 22 of Luke, verses 31 through 34, Peter then has been told by the Lord that before the cock crows this morning, in other words, before daylight this morning, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times." And let's remember that this has been said, this is the devil's sifting of the Apostle Peter. Now, if we move over to down to verse 55 of chapter 22, "And after they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. Now, this is in the courtyard of the high priest. The Lord has been arrested. Jesus has been arrested. He's taken there for a trial. And they build a fire. The soldiers build a fire there in the middle of the courtyard to warm themselves. And Peter was sitting among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." This man was with Jesus too. Verse 57, "But he denied it, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.'" So there is denial number one. And a little later, verse 58, "Another saw him and said, 'You are one of them too.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.'" Denial number two. "And after about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, 'Certainly this man was also with him, for he is a Galilean too.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are talking about.' And immediately, while he was still speaking, a cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, 'Before a cock crows today, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." So here at the arrest of Jesus Christ, Peter in the courtyard where Jesus is being tried, where Jesus is beaten, denies the Christ three times. He denies that he knows him. He denies that he was with him. He says, "I am not one of them." And then he says, "I do not know what you're talking about. I don't know anything you're talking about. What you're saying is totally wrong." And then, after the third denial, he heard the cock crow. And then he saw the face of Jesus turn and look at him. And Peter then immediately remembered the Lord's words, how he would deny him before the cock crowed today. And verse 62, "And he went out and wept bitterly." Now, this is the account of the betrayal of Jesus, the denial of Jesus on the part of the Apostle Peter. Again, Peter falls short. We've heard him say, "Lord, I'm willing to die with you. I will go to you with you to the ends of the earth. Lord, I'll take the sword from the soldier and I'll fight for you." And yet, here in the garden, or in the courtyard rather, Peter denies, even knowing the Lord. He denies him three times, not once, but three. Within a space of about an hour, Jesus denies, or Peter rather, denies the Lord three times. Now, he went out and wept bitterly. That seems that he left the area, probably went out and found a place of solitude and wept bitterly. Why? Because he realized he had betrayed the Lord. Because he realized he had sinned. Because he realized that he had fallen far short of what he himself expected of himself. He wept bitterly. Now we see an attitude here on the part of the Apostle Peter of sadness, of sorrow, of bitter weeping because of his failure, because of his denial. That, my friend, is a good sign. It should be a good sign when each of us fail our Lord, when each of us sin, we should be weeping bitterly about it. We should be completely and totally crushed because we have failed our Lord, because we have sinned. That godly sorrow will bring about repentance. That godly sorrow will bring us back to Jesus in confession. And when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, Peter has denied the Savior, and it's several days now before we see anything said about this. We don't see anything said by the apostles to Peter about this. We are just totally unaware of any result concerning this at all until we get to the end of the Gospel of John. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, we find that Jesus meets Peter at the shore of the Sea of Galilee. In fact, this is several days after the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection. This is in several appearances of the Lord to his disciples and to his followers from that Sunday morning. In fact, Jesus has told his disciples to go to the Sea of Galilee, and he will meet them there. Now, in chapter 21 of John, the Gospel of John, the last chapter of John, Jesus has told his disciples to go to the Sea of Galilee. And they are there. They have been fishing. They've gone back to their old lifestyle. Simon Peter, and the others go fishing. In chapter 21, verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. So they had fished all night. They'd caught nothing, and it was daybreak. When the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him and said, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." They cast, therefore, and then they were not able to haul in the net because of the great number of fish. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, and this is John writing, he's referring to John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, and he threw himself into the sea, and he waded to the shore about 100 yards away, and he and the others, or the other disciples, came dragging the net, the load of fish, and there were 153 fish in that particular net. But Peter kind of forsook them. He jumped out of the boat and went to meet the Lord. And Jesus said to them in verse 12, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now in verse 15, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Tend my lambs.'" In the King James, it's "feed my lambs." In verse 16, he said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." Now, Peter is questioned of the Lord, and he asks him the same question, essentially. Peter, do you love me? Now, there's a little change in this. The term for love in the first two of the questions is the term for fellowship, phileo. And he used the term Simon, son of John. Now, he didn't speak to him as Peter. He spoke to him as Simon, his given name. Now, remember that back at the time Peter had identified the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and proclaimed him that. It was then that Jesus said to Simon, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church." Now, he's referring to himself there. "Thou art Peter, a little rock, but upon this big rock, me, I'm going to build my church." It was there that Jesus used the term Peter to change, essentially, the name of Simon to Peter. But here, he spoke to him of his given name, Simon, Simon, son of John. And he asked him the question, "Do you love me?" Now, the first two of the questions is, "Peter, do you, or rather Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? Do you have a brotherly affection for me? Do you have a brotherly love for me?" And Peter says, "Yes, yes, Lord, you know that I do." Now, on the third question, he changes it to agape. "Do you have a deeper love for me? Do you have an agape love for me?" Now, Peter says in this instance, he says, he doesn't answer yes, you will notice. In the first two, he says, "Lord, you know that I love you." And then in verse 16, he said to him again, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But in this instance, when the Lord asked him, "Do you agape me?" he answers him a little more emphatically. And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Now, he still uses the term phileo. "You know that I have a brotherly affection for you." And what he might have just as well said, "Lord, you know my love. You know how short it is. You know that I have a brotherly love for you, but I don't have an agape love for you. Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you, that I love you with a brotherly love." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep." Now, Peter is given a mission here. It's Peter, from this time forward, that is the spokesman for the apostles. It is Peter that we see in the early part of Acts, preaching those wonderful sermons, and with boldness proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. But now, we see him restored. We see Jesus in his great love for the Apostle Peter, lovingly restore him. Notice that he doesn't accuse him. Notice that he doesn't say, "Peter, remember I told you you'd fail. You failed, didn't you?" No, there's no mention of that. Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. "Peter, do you love me?" Now, Jesus knew very well that Peter could not agape him, love him with the God-like love, until he was filled with God the Holy Spirit, because we can't express agape love humanly. We've got to express agape love as a result of God the Holy Spirit being within us. It is God's love that we give back when we agape love. So Peter wasn't able to do that. Jesus knew that. Jesus understood that. But he restored Peter with love, with compassion, not in any accusation at all, not in any condemning way at all, but he lovingly restored Peter to a place of apostleship. He lovingly put him back in his position as the head spokesperson for the apostles. And Peter now was prepared to receive the Holy Spirit. And once he received the Holy Spirit, he would then be prepared to be the leader of the apostles, the spokesperson for the early church, the great evangelist there in Jerusalem of the early church, the great apostle who was used mightily of God, so much so that even his shadow crossing a person would result in that person being healed. But we'll look at that in our next session together. Today, we've seen the sin of the Apostle Peter, the failure, and we've seen the restoration by our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're in the same situation as Peter. Perhaps you need to be restored. God is willing to do that. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he fills us with himself, so that we are the very righteousness of God. And that, my friend, is a good word for today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.